Hello.
Hello, it's Jack.
Hi. Sorry, who's calling, please?
Because sometimes you're too nice, because you recognize the social requirement to project some persona of cool, yet you also possess the humility and hopefully the self-confidence to laugh at yourself. Define the humor in genuinely good-natured jokes at your expense. This is why you're deadpan. And we're here at Deadpan episode number 29. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, aka Abby Normal. And as you heard at the very beginning of the show, my guest today is Christiana Ellis, who's very busy in podcasting, but probably most well-known for her patio book, Nina Kimberly the Merciless. But she'll talk to us all about all the stuff she has going on. Lots of good listener contributions, including the ongoing saga from Paul Mackey. This is really getting good. It was good to start off with, don't get me wrong, but it's really getting good. It's getting better and better, and I'm glad it's part of Deadpan. So we'll get to that, and we'll get to Christiana Ellis's interview and all of your content. And wow, I sound like I'm in a good mood, huh? I'm not.
This podcast is proudly listed on podcastpickle.com with more features for podcasters and listeners. Truly the best podcasting directory on the internet.
Hey, it's Alfie in Boulder. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's a motherfucking way. What?
So, Deadpanites, a lot of you are familiar with and fond of my next guest, who's actually the hardest working woman in podcasting. In fact, let's let Christiana Ellis tell us all about all the things that she has her hands in. Christiana, welcome to Deadpan. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun. In fact, I'm overly enthusiastic right now. I can't help it. I know I'm supposed to be Deadpan, but I just got too much going on right now to tone it down. Well, I'm a mile a minute these days.
That's right. I'll be the counterbalance. I'll be the Deadpan counterbalance.
Okay.
It's okay.
Well, besides, it's like everyone does that, you know, they come on and they're Deadpan too. I'm being subversive.
That's right. You're going to ruin the whole show. No, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your first name breaker in the podcasting world was for your novel, mm-hmm. which you released at Patio Books, which is Nina Kimberly the Merciless.
Yep, that's right. That's probably... Well, it's definitely the show. Of all of my shows, it's the one with the most subscribers, definitely, by far. And so, and hey, I'm really happy about that because I worked really hard on it. So it's really great that it's gotten some recognition, and I'm really, really pleased with the response I've gotten with it.
And that's great. Now, you know what? It's a full-length novel, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So we don't want to, I know we've got lots to talk about because you have so much going on, but we definitely don't want to shortchange Nina either, especially, you know, I know she has kind of a temper.
Nina doesn't like being shortchanged.
So tell listeners who are not familiar why they should subscribe to Nina Kimberly the Merciless.
All right. Nina Kimberly the Merciless is a humorous fantasy novel. Basically, the premise is this. We've got this fearsome barbarian conqueror named Marcus the Merciless. Think Genghis Khan or Alexander the Great when he's conquering everything, right? But he has a teenage daughter, and thus her name is Nina Kimberly the Merciless. But what happened is when they were invading this little out-of-the-way kingdom, there was no problem with them taking it over, but then just due to sheer dumb luck, Marcus the Merciless is killed, and that then without a leader, the barbarians just kind of end up just settling in this little out-of-the-way kingdom. And Nina has spent the last 10 years there, and she's very, very nonplussed about this whole, you know, settling in a little out-of-the-way kingdom thing. She feels she's destined for greater things, and she's really, really annoyed that life doesn't seem to be taking her in that direction. So she decides she needs to get a little more proactive.
Okay. Do you have the rest we have to learn by subscribing?
Well, basically, there is another element that sort of drives everything forward, which is that the young king of this particular little kingdom has got it into his head that they need to be a couple, and she's really not in with that.
I see. Okay. Now, I know this has done really well, and I know it's gotten a positive response even right here in the Deadpan message boards, and, you know, congratulations on the success with that.
Thanks, guys.
and now, are there going to be future volumes in her story?
Yes, there are. Unfortunately, they are not yet written, so they're not going to be coming anytime real soon. But I do have plans for actually two sequels to the first book, so... It's not cool. It's not so much that it's a trilogy, like a three-part single story, but it is, you know, like two more stories that follow this one.
Right, right. Okay, well, that you can still call it a trilogy.
Yeah, well, I just mean it's not like, you know, what JC's got with, you know, he actually wrote a big, you know, 1,200-page book, and he's just splitting it to three. You know, it's...
Right.
Yeah. I wrote the first one, and then it's done. Now I'm going to write another one.
It doesn't end with Frodo and Sam, you know, going down the river in their canoe. I mean, it actually ends.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, cool. All right.
It was nominated for a Parsec Award, which was cool. So I was yes. really pleased with that. I didn't win, but, you know, hey, that's okay. You know, with the company I was in, I was just pleased with that being nominated.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Congratulations on that. That's yeah, that's definitely very cool. It's a nice little tagline you can put on your story, too. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, I was going to move on to, you know, we got a lot to get through here with all the stuff
Sorry
you have going
that.
On. Well, let me ask before we get to items 2 through, you know, 94, how do you make a balance? I know you work pretty hard too. So,
yeah.
Day
well,
job. So,
you know, it's just a matter of prioritizing things, right? You know, so you just have to balance what's important to you. So for example, I choose to emphasize podcasting instead of less important things like, you know, paying bills or getting exercise or eating right or having a social life. You know, all those things that are really just kind of secondary priorities just fall by the wayside.
Okay. Yeah, you know, except like you need electricity to podcast, though.
Yeah, so usually once I start getting, you know, the warnings in the mail, I say, okay, well, you know, that's when it bumps up the list a little bit. I mean, right. the truth, though, is just that I find that I'm very passionate about podcasting. I've been in, you know, podcasting a little over a year now, and I just really, really love it. And so I've basically started spending all of my free time doing podcast stuff because I like it more than the stuff I was doing before. So... there you have it.
Well, yeah, and it's you know, I know as a writer and podcaster, it is tough to split your time, and you know, I mean, both of them, you know, both of them are demanding. They both demand your attention.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, you have now your next big thing that's about to come up, and you know, I'll be playing the promo on Deadpan is going to take up a lot of time, but I think it's going to be, it's just sounds like a great idea. And actually you and I had talked about it in person at Worldcon.
Right.
But it seems like, you know, it's launching and it's going to be a huge thing. Tell us a little bit about, now it's called Pickle Tales.
Yes. Pickle Tales, Battle of the Podcast Stars. It's a competition for audio storytelling. And the origin was basically this, that, around this time last year, or actually not quite this time, it was more like late November and December, I got involved with the podcast Christmas Carol that Podcast Pickle did. Now, that's not to be confused. There were a couple of other groups that had the same sort of idea at about the same time. And that was actually, I think, the one failing of our project was that we didn't find out if anyone else was doing the same thing first. Because it maybe if these three groups had sort of gotten together and done a big one or you know, found other things to work on, then it wouldn't have been so confusing. But it was such an amazing experience that it just became this great big community project over at the Podcast Pickle. We had a couple of dozen different podcasters all, you know, helping put it together and contributing dialogue. And so I was one of the four writers on that and helped produce it as well. And it was just so exciting, and I really loved the community feeling of it. And that's one of the things I like about podcasting, and that I love about podcasting, is the community feeling to it. And yes. So I was thinking to myself ever since then that I kind of wanted to do another project that would have some sort of a community involvement and not be just something that I work on myself and then release. Because I love all the feedback I get, but I wanted this to be something that like a lot of different people could all contribute to.
Right.
And my first thought actually was the idea of creating like a fictional reality competition show, where what would happen is that, you know, all different sort of people would be sort of contestants on this fictional show. But at the same time, as I was just trying to think about what it would be, I became more and more interested in the idea of, well, what if it's, you know, it's not a reality show, but what if we had like an actual competition? Because, you know, one thing that I've really discovered through doing Nina Kimberly is that I think the audio medium has real power to it when it comes to storytelling. And, you know, right. I listen to a lot of audio books. I listen to, you know, I listened to yours. I listened to Escape Pod and Pseudopod. I really like hearing fiction and stories in the audio medium. And I was thinking, there are a lot of other people who seem to like that, and there are a lot of people who like doing that. What if we have just a competition? And not just a contest to say, like, oh, who has the best podcast out there? Because there are those award shows already. And so this was really going to be something new that I don't think has been done before, which is it's going to be a competition for material that is created exclusively for the competition. Now, when I say exclusively, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, forever exclusive. I just mean, you know, that it's written for the purposes of entering the contest and not something that was already out there.
Right. And you guys will give the Pickle Tales committee or whatever, you guys will give the topics to write on about or do create skits about.
Yeah. And okay. So basically I just had this idea in my head and I liked it, but I didn't really know what else to do with it. So I just started mentioning it to people who I came into contact with at, you know, conventions, like when I was telling you about it. And I just found that every single person I told about it liked the idea. And so I'm starting to think, huh, this is kind of cool. And then I tell Gary Leland, who's, the owner of Podcast Pickle. And he says, well, that's great. You know, if you do it, I'll donate $250 cash and 1 month's free banner space as a prize. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Well, shoot, now I really have to do it. You know, don't you know I'm all talk? But so that was a little scary, because what I really had in mind was just this huge thing, and it was bigger than anything I'd ever done before. But I'm at the same time, I'm really excited about it. So we've just opened up the auditions. And so the first audition theme is Tell Me a Story. And so people just have to send in a 5 minutes or less audio piece on Tell Me a Story. And they have to be in by October 31st. And that's when we'll start the actual competition in earnest.
Okay. And well, cool. And it is a fiction, or it is open to other sorts of things other than just straight up fiction.
That's an excellent question. It doesn't have to be fiction. Basically, there's a theme and there are certain other rules associated with it, like it has to be 5 minutes or less, no more than PG-13, and it has to be all pod safe. And so there are those rules, but at the same time, it can be anything within those guidelines. So it can be telling a story about something that really happened to you. It can be an essay. It could be a song. It could be a full-fledged audio drama with multiple different people doing the voices and sound effects and music. It could just be a skit. It's completely open to whatever anybody wants to do.
Oh, cool. And so now you said Gary Leland, you know, famous of P. Dilly from Podcast Pickle. Don't put up the cash. But now, so you're the, was it Simon and Paula and Randy on this?
Well,
or do you have other people involved?
We have other people involved. I would be the equivalent of more like Ryan Seacrest. I'm kind of the, I'm the host.
Oh,
and
don't say that.
MC. I'm the host of the show, and so we do have three judges, similar to American Idol in the general structure, in the sense that we have three judges, and they will be providing commentary, but it's actually listener votes who determine who goes on to the next round.
Okay. And who are your
three,
who are those three?
Three judges are Shelley Brisbane of Shelley's Podcast and iProng Radio, Clinton Alvord from Comedy Forecast, and Gary Leland himself.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to be a really big deal, and have a lot of fun with it, and good luck with it.
Oh, thanks. I'm really excited. I'm running, like I said, a mile a minute. Literally, just the reason that I was a few minutes late for the interview is because I was setting up the feed. feeds.feedburner.com/pickletales. And the website, you can find out more on that, is www.podcastpickle.com/pickletales.
All right. Well, yeah, you beat me to it, Joe. That was good. And everyone out there who sounds interesting, then by all means, go for it. I mean, it sounds like it will be a lot of fun to take part in.
So, I hope so.
And now, and when does it end?
The auditions, the audition deadline is October 31st. But basically, that's just the deadline for sort of the opening round. And after that is when we actually start the main rounds. And we're going to start, we're going to narrow down all the auditions to 12. And then have two rounds that will narrow everything down to 6. And then we'll have one round where one person is eliminated each time until there's a winner.
Okay.
But the everyone who submits an audition piece, as long as it conforms to the rules, it will be played on the feed. It might not be part of the official competition, but everything will get played.
All right. Well, there you go. It's another thing, as you said, I mean, I use that word a lot around here. In fact, people started to kind of make fun of me for it. But the community is, you know, that's a good way of kind of just growing the community. And it's by kind of including everything that complies with the rules, you know, it's so no one really loses. It's a, it's a cool thing.
So I'm excited about that aspect, that we're going to get lots of people to enter. Also, that it will be something where people can actually vote and they have some influence on what the outcome is and who continues on through the rest of the... And it's not like with American Idol or one of the shows on TV or something, they're, you know, they have thousands and thousands of people who call, and they might call over and over and over again. So any one person's vote is not necessarily going to make that much difference. But something like this, the numbers are going to be smaller than, you know, the hundreds of thousands, or I don't even know how many votes they get. But it's people are going to be actually able to have some influence on how things turn out. And there's actually going to be a way for listeners to contribute via PayPal to the prize fund.
Oh, very cool. Very nice. So that it's starting at $250, but it could go up, you know, as high as
people want to donate.
Yeah. Wow. Well, cool. Yeah, there's more incentive to sign up and join. Cool. Yeah. Well, again, you know, good luck with that. It sounds like it's going to keep you busy for a few months.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is anything else going to go by the wayside, or you think you'll be able to juggle it all?
Well, I haven't been able to do quite as much writing as I've wanted to lately. So that's probably, if anything slips, it's going to end up being that. But I'm at the same time, I've got kind of a plan for that. I know what I'm doing. It's I don't want to say it's secret. It's just overly complicated and probably not all that interesting.
Hi, this is Paul Mackey, author of the Really Big Things serial, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Hi, this is Paul. Too much emotion. Wow. Hi. This is Paul Mackey, author of the Really Big Things serial, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Hi. This is Paul Mackey, author of the Really Big Things serial, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Hi.
This is Paul Mackey, author of the Really Big Things serial, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Hi. Nah, those should do it. All right.
To go to a vampire ball and dance with them beneath a harvest moon would be a dream.
To not know who they really are behind their masks, knowing they are hunting, would be a nightmare.
Surprises await your every step within the shadows. This promises to be a night you won't soon forget.
Come join us and discover what happens next at La Bonne Masque Nocturne, Saturday, October 28th, 2006, from 8 p.m. to midnight, at the Grand Ballroom of the Crown Plaza Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona.
For tickets and more information, visit masknocturne.com. That's masqueNocturne.com.
A portion of the proceeds will benefit the American Cancer Society.
Hello, this is Retro, and when I listen to Jack Mangan's podcast, how does it make me feel? Kind of like that. Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's the way.
Well, let's talk about some of the other stuff then that you have going on.
Okay.
I mean, we actually did pretty good time for those two huge topics.
you know,
your book and Pickle Tales. But you also have something called, I'm sorry, One Pound at a Time.
One Pound at a Time, yeah.
Okay, I got it right. And you also have, Hey, Want to Watch a Movie.
And
Christiana Talks About Stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, in any particular order, go right ahead and I'll shut up. Go right ahead.
I guess I'll start with Christiana Talks About Stuff just because that was my first show. So when I say that I've been doing podcasting for just over a year, it was that show that I started first back in September last year. It's basically just a chat show. I have a very old friend of mine named Mike that he's my co-host on that. And seriously, it's just talks about stuff. That's really all it is. We just talk about whatever's on our minds. It's not really a tight format show. In many ways, it's sort of the relief valve for all my other shows, which are a little more tightly themed. That one is just whatever it is that we want to talk about. Although, basically, we're both big fans of Survivor. So when that's in season, we always do an episode talking about the most recent episode of Survivor.
Okay.
But then we talk movies, TV, current events, or just whatever's going on in our lives. And that's all there is to it.
So it's Christiana and Mike's winging it.
Well, yeah. we don't always get so much into the alcohol in that show.
Okay.
But that's a good segue, actually, to Hey, Want to Watch a Movie. Where Hey, Want to Watch a Movie is, seriously, it's just like, you know how when you're hanging out with friends and you decide to put on a movie, you're not really watching the movie all that carefully. It's more just to sort of have a running topic of conversation where you're just talking about the movie or you're talking to each other and you're just hanging out, and that's really the point more than it is to watch the movie. Well,
right. That's
what Hey, Want to Watch a Movie is. It's also kind of like homemade audio commentaries. The idea, the concept behind it is that listeners would actually go and get the movie and watch it on their own TV while they listen. Now, it doesn't have to be listened to that way, but that's probably the best way to really get the feel of it.
Sure.
And alcohol is definitely involved in that one. It's not required, but certainly encouraged.
Okay. Is there a drinking game sort of thing, or is that that would seem
sometimes
to,
we did Top Gun as our second movie, and we had an excellent drinking game for Top Gun. I have to say, most drinking games really just involve when A happens, drink. When B happens, drink. When C happens, take a shot, you know?
Right.
This one
right. Actually
required participation. When there was a missile lock, you're supposed to yell out, "Oh, crap, we're screwed." And when there's a MiG on screen, you have to go, "Screw the Russians." And it actually required participation, and that just made it a lot more fun. Plus, there was also the rule of before you start, each player has to pick a character, and then every time that person's character name gets said, they have to drink. And they made me be Maverick, and I was having a hard time by the end.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow. So this isn't exactly, I'm sure a lot of people will bring up, you know, plastic robots, but it's not exactly, I mean, I'm sure there's that element to it, but it's not, there's more
right.
to it than.
Yeah. Well, I will just go ahead and I guess give him a plug, because I like Mike Nelson from MST3K. He has this new thing called Rift Frax, which is a similar idea, only his is more, it's kind of like what MST3K was doing. And of course you have to pay for his. Mine are free, but we're not really doing the MST3K thing. The point is not to sit there and come up with a joke a minute to make fun of the movie, although there's certainly some of that going on. The point is really just, like I was saying earlier, it's when you're just hanging out with friends or interesting people and you've got the movie on in the background and you're kind of watching and you're kind of talking to your friends. And that's really what it is because I love doing that. I do that with my friends in person. I just really, really enjoy watching a movie and talking with friends while it's happening. You know, and I enjoy that so much that I decided it would be fun to do that with people over Skype and record it. So it's so much fun to record, in fact, that we often find that we don't work very hard to promote it. Not that we don't want it to get listened to, but just that it's so much fun to do that it's almost more of a priority than anything else.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is a really good idea, and
we've had some fun people guests too. Shelley Brisbane and my co-host Mike are regulars on there, but we've also had the Right Rev Chumley from Cult of UHF. We've had J.C. Hutchins, Steve Ely, T. Morris. We just recently did Star Trek: Wrath of Khan. We did that with Dan and CJ from a podcast called Love, Long, and Prosper, and Neil from the Borderlines podcast. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like a blast. It's very cool. So have we we haven't covered everything, right? Or have
no,
we?
One pound no, at one a time is the last one. That one is a video podcast about weight loss. Now, I started back in December a podcast called 50 Pounds, 6 Months, which was a video podcast chronicling my attempts to lose, 50 pounds in 6 months. Okay. And I succeeded with the 6 months part.
Okay.
And I say that as a joke, but the truth is I lost 20 pounds. I didn't lose 50, but I lost 20. And one of the things that I sort of learned through that process was that while setting a goal for yourself like that can be helpful, it can be useful, at the same time, it can also convey the impression that if you don't quite reach that finish line, then somehow you've failed, you know? Because I didn't lose 50 pounds, that sounds like I failed to lose 50 pounds, when really I lost 20 pounds that I wouldn't have lost if I wasn't trying to lose weight. And also, it could also convey the impression that somehow trying to lose weight or eating healthier or exercising is something that you do for 6 months and then stop.
Isn't it?
Well, not if you want to actually lose weight and keep it off. It depends. It's, again, the balancing priorities.
Right. Yeah. That brings us back to that. Yeah. Well, and now, has that done well?
That did pretty well. And I had a lot of people watching that, and in fact, what was really cool is not even so much just the numbers, but I would get feedback from people saying, "Oh, you've really inspired me, and now I've lost 20 pounds," or, you know, people, "Yeah, and now me and my coworker are going to take a water fitness class because you inspired us," and so that's really cool. But basically, that finished in June because that's when the 6 months was up, and so I wasn't doing anything for a while, and it occurred to me, I want to keep going with this, but obviously the 6 months is up. And so what can I do to sort of relaunch with a new focus that I think will be better? And so I've relaunched as 1 pound at a time, because the idea is, okay, before that was, you know, setting the goal. This is more about like ongoing, you know, weight loss isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. That's the, that little tagline that I came up to try to be clever.
It worked. It is very clever. But I think that's a good idea too, because, you know, I'm sure when it ended, you know, you had a lot of people who were kind of you know, sad to see it end. So I'm sure I'm sure you got a lot of those people back, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
In fact, I got a lot of people harassing me for taking so long to come back.
Well, wasn't that really even that long? So this is just started up again, or it's going to start up again?
It's been going about a month. So we just put up episode 3.
Wow. Well, yeah, you, as I said, you know, you're the hardest working woman in podcasting.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, I mean, that is a pretty impressive resume or roster of shows you have going there.
Thank you. Working hard, but I do it because I love it, though. I have seriously drunk whatever the word is, the podcast Kool-Aid. You know, I mean, it doesn't take very much for me to turn any possible conversation into a conversation about podcasting.
I guess I'm pretty sure that is what we talked about at Worldcon. It was pretty much was podcasting and audiobooks. And so, well, thank you very much for being on.
Just one thing I wanted to just say, though, is what's with cutting your hair? Your hair is how I recognized you at Worldcon. I saw you walking by, and I recognized you from your hair.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny story. I was actually going to say, feel free to talk about whatever you want. But we can talk about my hair, though. I mean, you know, that's totally fine. But yeah, that is actually a funny story, is that Christiana showed up a little bit late to Worldcon and was looking for people who she knew. She was trying to find the whole group, and she kind of spotted, you know, me walking down the hall with Evo, and I believe it was
Matt Selznick.
Yes, it was Matt. Yeah. Yep. And she said, oh yeah, I recognize you because I recognize Jack from the hair. Because
yep.
Really, you see like 2 inches of my head on my banner on my website. So yeah, now I can go incognito at cons.
Well, part of it too was I was staking out the podcaster suite, kind of. I was out in the sort of the pool courtyard, but basically I saw the three of you walking in that direction. And so I said, could it be? And sure enough, it was.
Well, that was now. Do you have any? I guess that's a good topic to kind of go out on. Even is to talk about what you have coming up. Do you have what are your con plans for the year? I know Worldcon is in the next Worldcon is not even on the continent, so
it's in Japan. Although I might actually end up getting to go because my mom wants to go to Japan, and so we might actually be able to. You know, to do that in one trip, you know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So,
yes.
So that I might actually get to go to that, which would be really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I am big into cons, though. I mean, I've really only been going to cons since like March, but I mean, I really am a big fan of those too. You know, seriously, like Dragon Con and World Con. You know, those big cons, some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. You know, I say without exaggeration.
Yeah, it really is a blast, you know, and it's a great feeling to connect with you know, your peers and with people who really like what you've done. I mean, it's just a really great feeling. It is a blast. So do you have any, I know the winter usually cons slow down. Do you have any cons or any other promotional plans for the next few months?
No, I think Pickle Tales is just my priority. Although I do have I have a con dumbass memory for you.
Do you?
Yes,
okay.
I do. This was at Dragon Con. One of the first things that I did after arriving at Dragon Con was I went to a Q&A session with Ellen Muth, who played George on Dead Like Me. Okay. I'm a big, big fan of Dead Like Me, and so I thought it was really cool that she was there, and I was really excited going to this Q&A, you know, panel with her. And so I didn't ask any questions just because I couldn't really even think of any. That, you know, other people weren't asking, and plenty of other people were asking questions, and I was a little nervous because I just really admire her. And so that might have been the end of the story, except that later I was walking through the Walk of Fame, and I turned the corner. In fact, I wasn't even really sure that I was going to talk to anyone in there just because I didn't, you know that there was going to be anyone specific that I wanted to talk to. But I just turned the corner, and there she is sitting at a table, and there's no one in line in front of her or anything. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, this is great. And so I walk up, and I'm just like, hi. Hi. I really like Dead Like Me. Oh, good. Well, thank you. Like, yeah, it's a great show. Thanks. And I just had nothing. I was just, and it takes a lot to make me speechless. And frankly, I was unprepared to deal with that particular situation. And so I just stood there like a moron. And she was so nice about it too. She was like even trying to prompt me with stuff. She's like, "So, are we having a good time at the con? You know, I have another panel later. Are you going to come to that?" And I'm just like, "Yeah. Okay. Okay, bye." And then I just walked away feeling like an idiot. And but there's a moron. I was going to say a moral, not a moron. There's a moral to this story though, which is after I walked away, I was just feeling like an idiot and thinking to myself, what kind of way is that to leave it? You know, I mean, this is someone I really admire and I didn't want to, you know, leave it that way. And really the problem was just that I sort of hadn't expected to run into her. And so I hadn't thought of anything to say.
Right.
And so I decided that I was going to go back and show her that I could actually carry on an intelligent conversation. But when I went back, she'd left.
Oh,
I must have been the last person she talked to because it was only like 2 minutes. And so I just was like, I missed that opportunity and I felt really dumb. But it inspired me to just be a little bit bolder when talking to other people that I admired there. And so I actually got podcast bumpers from Alan Tudyk and Summer Glau and Billy West. And
wow.
Yeah. Cool. It was pretty cool. And so that's the moral. But boy, I'm actually blushing right now just as I think about standing there in front of Ellen Muth and just having absolutely nothing to say.
It's like the freeze up with that Ralphie has when he finally gets to Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, football. Football.
That is a great story. I mean, that's a perfect dumbass memory. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, and also it has the happy ending. And
yeah. So I never did get to talk to her, but but I did get to talk to some other people that I probably wouldn't have even approached if it hadn't been for feeling so stupid talking to her.
Well, that's a perfect way, I think, to end off. Thank you very much for coming on. Thanks for the dumbass memory, and thanks for thanks for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun talking.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, definitely.
From Podcast Pickle, one of Time Magazine's 50 coolest websites, and Christiana Ellis, author of Nina Kimberly the Merciless, comes a brand new competition for podcast storytelling. Pickle Tales, Battle of the Podcast Stars. Contestants will write and produce 5-minute audio skits, stories, or essays on the assigned theme, and listeners decide who moves on to the next round. Each round raises the stakes, and the grand prize winner will receive $250 cash and other fabulous prizes. Best of all, the auditions are completely open. You don't have to have a podcast to enter. We're accepting submissions until midnight on October 31st, so head over to www.podcastpickle.com/pickletales for more information on how to enter. The next podcast star could be you.
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Quick unrelated thought. Didn't the Ancient Mariner realize that the wedding guest just wanted to get drunk and do the chicken dance? He didn't want to be a sad and wiser man. He was scoping out that bridesmaid with the tongue ring. He didn't want to hear about ghost ships and albatrosses and board shrinking.
Really Big Things. A Serial. By Paul Mackey. Episode 3. Muffler Man. How does a fucking giant, statuesque, fucking hot, purple-eyed blonde just disappear? I don't know. You tell me, Jeremy. You're the one that saw her. I think you spend way too much time looking through a viewfinder. What's the big deal anyway, Jerry? Giving up on my sister? No. Oh, hell, I don't know. Just don't tell her, okay? Okay, man. And don't call me Jerry. My boss at Chicken Heaven used to call me Jerry. The sun was dropping in the sky as they turned up Highway 169 toward Mankato. Speaking of Chicken Heaven, you hungry, Jeremy? I guess. Cool. The next thing on my list is the... Hey, check it out! Chris pointed ahead, where a tall figure stood atop a sign near a repair garage at a truck stop. Jeremy offered him one of his best blank looks in response. It's a muffler man. I gotta get a shot. I didn't even know this was here. In the parking lot, it was challenging breathing, amongst a half dozen or so 18-wheelers, many idling. Swarthy truckers stood by their rigs, smoking or drinking coffee. A guy in a torn jean jacket and dusty pants was darting from one driver to another. The sign with the muffler man stood on the other side of the lot, and Chris began snapping photos. You'll see variations on this guy all over. See how he's holding that muffler? Jeremy squinted against the setting sun. The man was holding a muffler, one palm up, one palm down. It's like he's going to twirl it, in a rifle squad in a parade. Sure, I guess. You'll see him holding all kinds of things, mufflers, insect sprayers, whatever. Now put him in a red and black plaid shirt in your head. And holding an axe? It's Paul Bunyan. You got it. The guy who originally designed him just reused his mold over and over again. Chris wrapped up his photos, and they turned to go back to the car. So what's next, the world's biggest moose? Jeremy asked, pantomiming antlers with his fingers by his temples. No, actually we're headed to Mankato. You said you were hungry? Jeremy began to respond when the guy in the jean jacket suddenly stepped into their path. Two of you, huh? The man said. Whatever. You're looking for consciousness expansion? What you got? Asked Jeremy. No, we're not, interrupted Chris. Beat it. The guy in the jean jacket held up his hands and backed away. Sorry, friend, I thought you might need something. He turned away, and a truck driver immediately caught his arm.
I want to buy some Reds.
Geez, Jeremy, we definitely don't need you buying drugs. Hey, I was just going to do a price check. Whatever, said Chris, climbing into the car. Look, let's get up to Mankato. I'm starving. As they pulled away, the guy in the jean jacket climbed into an idling truck and drove after them. Down the road, in a Chicken Heaven franchise, a short woman with bobbed black hair sat in a booth. Across from her, a balding man with squinting eyes made a face. How can you call that food?
Now come on, Eric, it's chicken, breading, and a generous helping of fried in oil. Go ahead, try it.
Eric harumphed.
Besides, I've got to do something while I wait. How's this supposed to work again?
Ivo's got some guy doing the initial meet.
But who's the subject?
Suzette, Ivo's got it all planned out. The subject is very intelligent, strong-willed, strong-bodied. He'll understand what we need, and he'll do as we say. Suzette sighed over her chicken and cheese.
Fine, I'm sure Ivo's right, the loopy bastard. I trust him, I don't trust him.
Well, trust him this time, Eric insisted. He sees more than even you can. With this new guy on our side, we can't lose. A short while later, another car pulled into the truck stop. A tall, broad-shouldered man with glasses got out and began asking those milling around if he could get his consciousness expanded, uncomfortably making billowing cloud gestures with his fingers near his temples. You've been listening to Really Big Things, a serial by Paul Madden. Some additional voice content by Darcy Zepernick. Music is Chronodermis by Nanochrist. Check out their website at www.nanochrist.com.
So here we are at about 44 minutes, and it's been mostly Jack Mangan free, or at least mostly Jack Mangan original content free. Awesome. Thank you very much to everyone who's taken part and contributed. I actually have a lot of good stuff left over to play in the next episode, but by all means, your contributions are awesome, and it really makes the show a lot of fun. And speaking of the community, the comment numbers are way down, but they're still... But it's still pretty damn cool to get to 400 and 500 comments per episode. And the community's still just as strong as ever. It's just we've lost a lot of people to life explodes. And to everyone who's going through a life explode, you know, you have the support of everyone here and me. And I hope everyone's doing well. So we're going to close up shop this sort of double episode with a really short piece of music. It's another mash. I actually gutted this and used part of it as the background for my Star Trek what was that, the Magical Mystery Trek skit from a few episodes back. But this is the full-on MASH, and I hope you enjoy it. Come back next episode for Deadpan number 30. Deadpan is the way. Deadpanites unite. All that fun stuff. I'm not coming back after the music. Peace out, homies. Say it with me. No, that's not it.
Some reds.